So amidst tremendous uncertainty about the impact of aggressive police work on communities, there was a verdict yesterday that left no doubt in anyone's mind about anything. A man who had eluded any stopping and frisking by police for at least 16 years, avoiding any sentencing or prosecution for his many suspected murders, was convicted by a Boston jury. James Whitey Bulger, guilty, guilty, and guilty of racketeering, extortion, and murder. The 83-year-old mobster who heard the jury's verdict yesterday now faces a life sentence in prison. With us is Dick Lehr, author of Whitey, The Life of America's Most Notorious Mob Boss. Dick, welcome back to the show.
Hi, John.
So at the beginning of this trial, we spoke about it, and you described it as a narrative that was going to possibly rewrite some of the history we know about Bulger, confirm some other history. How did it play out?
Well, it played out where it largely confirmed a lot of information, a lot of good journalism that's been written over the years that chronicled not just, you know, Whitey Bulger's reign of terror in Boston and beyond, because he had a national reach, so to speak. Yeah, I mean, he was overwhelmingly guilty of 32 out of 33 counts in the federal indictment, and the stuff is really horrifying.
Was the trial itself an opportunity for Bulger to play the psychological games that so many authors, including yourself, have described that he was so good at, manipulating police, manipulating sources and victims?
Indeed, yeah. I mean, it was classic Whitey during the trial, trying to assert himself in some way so that he had some kind of control. But he utterly failed. He spent an enormous amount of time channeling through his lawyers this ridiculous claim that he was not an FBI informant. And that had nothing to do with the criminal indictment that he was facing. So that was wasted time and wasted energy. The other big gamble he took was trying to argue relentlessly, again, through his attorneys, that he doesn't kill women, that he's a noble gangster. Yeah, he's killed people, but he's killed people that arguably deserved it in the underworld or whatnot. But he doesn't kill women. And there were two of the 19 murder charges that he faced were two young women. And the jury just didn't buy it. In one of them, it was complicated, and they just said there was no finding. They couldn't reach an agreement whether he was guilty or not. And in effect, that's a wash. The other woman, they found him guilty of strangling her to death.
You know, in many ways, the jury seems to have responded, you know, not so much to the ethos of the mob world or this sense of a code or any of the kind of romanticism of Bulger's life as it's been portrayed in entertainment and in books, but the pure human toll, human cost of this man's actions. Describe for a moment how that played out at the trial, the victims.
It was a relentless presentation of evidence of that depravity. There was a moment when they were showing forensic photos of this young woman's skeleton, her skull, that was dug up, you know, in 2000, basically 14 years after Whitey Bulger had strangled her and buried her along a river in Boston. They showed the forensic photos of her skeleton and her remains, and one juror started to choke up and cry. I mean, it had to be a very difficult thing to sit on and watch. And I have to tell you, I was at the trial many, many days, and much of the information was not new to me, but it would turn my stomach just to hear it again, see it again, have it be turned over again. It was difficult. It was difficult.
You know, you say the information wasn't new to you. I'm inclined to ask, on those witness stands, were some of those individuals either your sources at some point or the sources of some of your colleagues?
Yeah, no, some of the FBI agents, the disgraced supervisor John Morris was a source years ago. Frankly, you know, some of the best information comes from tarnished sources, and he confirmed for us back in 1988 when we first broke the story at the Globe that Whitey and the FBI had something going on. John Matarano, we've interviewed a lot of these guys over the years, John Matarano being Whitey Bulger's hitman and killer. So, yeah, I think what's real important is that even though whether the journalists or the experts who have studied this saga all these many years, there may not have been a lot of new information, the trial was a forum for the public at large to see in a focused way, you know, spotlighted, not only the depravity of Whitey Bulger, this crime boss and his reign of terror, but I want to point out the FBI complicity all these years. The bulk of the charges that Whitey was found guilty of crimes were committed on what we call FBI time, meaning after 1975 when he became an FBI informant. And that's the, I think, the shocking takeaway concern here or message, that the FBI was, you know, front and center when it came to enabling Whitey Bulger and then protecting him during the commission of all these crimes.
Any witnesses seemed, in your view, to be more candid at this trial during the times that they were sources for journalists or even sources for the FBI? They were getting paid in some cases by Bulger, paid in some cases by the FBI. This seems to be the first forum where nobody's getting paid for anything. It's just the truth. Does that involve some rewriting of history?
Yeah, I think one of the witnesses who I think is devastating against Whitey was his sidekick, you know, much younger man named Kevin Weeks. He was a really effective witness, and they actually had a blow up at one point during the trial when they started swearing at each other near the end of Kevin Weeks' testimony, and it was one of the, you know, dramatic, melodramatic moments. But Weeks was right there and saw it all, and an eyewitness to all kinds of stuff. And he testified at the FBI agent John Connolly's trial in Miami a few years ago. I mean, he's done this before, and again, he tells what he claims to be the truth, and it holds up. I think the juries find him credible because he was key to, most of the guilties, you know, his evidence and his testimony, eyewitness testimony.
Guilty. James Whitey Bulger, guilty of racketeering, extortion, and murder. Commenting on the trial, he's an observer of the trial as well. Dick Lehr, author of Whitey, The Life of America's Most Notorious Mob Boss. Dick, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Coming up in the post-Edward Snowden era, a look at what happens when the head of the NSA asks for more.
What? Ask for more?
What the dickens is going on, you might say? David Sanger from our partner, The New York Times, has the answer to that next on The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.